Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Digital Media and Industry Analyst Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, you will need to press the 1, followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded, Monday, July 30th, 1996. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Dan Cafferly, Director for Corporate Public Relations at Digital. Please go ahead.
Good morning and welcome to today's fourth quarter and full year's results teleconference. Thank you for joining us. I have with me today Digital Chairman Bob Palmer and Digital's Chief Financial Officer, Vin Malarkey. Following opening remarks by Bob and Vin, we'll open the session up for your questions. The teleconference will conclude promptly at 11:45. Before we begin, I want to state that comments made in this teleconference, which are not historic fact, are forward-looking statements as that term is defined in the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. All forward-looking statements are subject to the risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those projected. Such risks and uncertainties are discussed more fully in the company's latest quarterly report on Form 10-Q and the company's other filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Now, it is my pleasure to introduce Digital's Chairman, Bob Palmer.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. You should all already have received a copy of our fourth quarter and year-end earnings release, and as you can see, our results were consistent with the preliminary announcement that we made 4 weeks ago. Vin Malarkey is going to discuss the quarterly numbers in more detail, but I wanted to touch on a few of the highlights from our full-year results. I also want to bring you up to date on the progress we're making in the two areas that we discussed at some length earlier this month, Digital's PC business and our European operations. While I'm disappointed with our Q4 earnings, I believe our results for the entire fiscal year demonstrate solid progress. Excluding the restructuring charge, our earnings improved by $258 million over the previous fiscal year, or by more than 210%. Although we still had a lot of work to do in a number of areas, I'm confident that the company is well positioned strategically, and I expect a stronger and more profitable year in fiscal 97. As I told you a few weeks ago, our strategic businesses, the ones we expect to drive our growth for years to come, are healthy. At the time, I was able to tell you only that those businesses were growing at strong double-digit rates. Today, I can be more specific. Alpha Systems revenues for fiscal 96 were up 45% over the previous year, driven by demand for our enterprise-level Alpha Server 8000 family, and more recently, for our new mid-range Alpha Server 4100 systems. We've now generated $10 billion in revenue from Alpha products and services since their introduction. Growth in our Unix business continues to accelerate. Revenues were up more than 50% for the year, compared with a 40% increase the previous year on a smaller base. We experienced strong growth in Windows NT across both our Alpha and our Intel-based platforms. Revenues more than doubled over the previous year on Windows NT. And we reported significant growth in other key businesses, including our network products, our storage products, Intel servers, and multi-vendor services. In each of these areas, revenues for the year were up by more than 30%. And although our OpenVMS business overall continued to decline, OpenVMS on Alpha revenues were up 23% versus last year. This reflects customer confidence in the capabilities of OpenVMS and its seamless interoperability with Windows NT. As we said during our last teleconference, Digital's failure to meet our original earnings expectations in Q4 was largely the result of problems in two areas, PCs and Europe. I've spent a lot of time in the last 4 weeks meeting with teams managing our PC and European businesses, and I'm pleased with the progress we're making and with our plans to fix the problems that remain. Specifically, in the PC business, our revenues in Europe and Asia-Pacific were up in Q4 over the same quarter last year. And although PC revenue declined in the U.S. year over year, sales out of the channel were up 20% from Q3. As a result, we made steady progress in reducing our channel inventory, and we continue to drive operating expenses to more competitive levels. I'm confident that these improvements, together with the other steps that were taken to strengthen the business, are going to lead to better results in our PC business in Q1. In Europe, we're implementing plans to strengthen our management focus, to expand our direct sales coverage, to recruit new channels partners, and to reduce our expenses. One step that we're taking is to focus on a smaller core group of European channels partners. This will allow us to reduce channel competition and conflict, improve our support, move effectively or more effectively target our marketing programs, and better manage our channel relationships. And we're also attracting new management talent with more experience in channel development and direct sales in Europe. Now, while we cannot control European economic conditions or currency fluctuations, we can do a much better job of managing and growing our business in Europe, and that's clearly our objective. As I look back on fiscal 96, I see many strategic accomplishments that bode well for Digital's future. Most important, perhaps, was the introduction of a clear corporate strategy focused on three major growth opportunities. They are high-performance 64-bit Unix platforms, Windows NT across the enterprise, and Internet connectivity within and between enterprises. This strategy positions Digital for where the market is going. It also builds on our historic strengths in high-performance platforms and operating systems, in enterprise computing, networking, and service and support. In each of these strategic growth areas, we've made substantial progress over the last year. With powerful new 64-bit systems, both 64-bit Unix and 64-bit OpenVMS operating systems, and a rapidly growing portfolio of 64-bit applications from our partners, Digital has solidified its position as the undisputed leader in delivering 64-bit solutions to customers, a position that we intend to sustain. Together with Oracle and other leading database and applications partners, we've created an entirely new market for very large memory database technology and applications. Demand grew as companies discovered a cost-effective way to turn huge databases into competitive advantage. During fiscal year 96, we sold more than 1,800 Alpha Server 8000 systems to companies throughout the world. Just last week, we announced that Lycos, a premier internet search and guide company, will power its Surface with Digital 64-bit turbo lasers and workstations, 64-bit Digital Unix, and storage work systems. One of the main highlights of fiscal 96 was the Alliance for Enterprise Computing that we announced with Microsoft last August. It firmly established Digital as one of the clear leaders in delivering products and services based on Windows NT for both Alpha and Intel-based platforms. Let me read you a quote from a recent report by the Patricia Sable Group, a high-tech consultant. Quote, "Of all the major system vendors, Digital remains the most committed to Windows NT. Even though Hewlett-Packard and IBM have adopted Windows NT-friendly strategies, neither has as comprehensive a technical strategy as Digital." End quote. The benefits of this alliance are considerable, including Microsoft's recently announced decision to develop a 64-bit version of Windows NT that will run first on Digital's Alpha platforms. This is yet another sign of Alpha's growing acceptance in the marketplace as the preeminent 64-bit architecture. You know, just last month, we announced a 500 megahertz Alpha microprocessor that runs up to 2 billion instructions per second and is sampling now. It sustains Digital's substantial performance advantage over all competing architectures, and we intend to maintain that advantage, indeed, to expand it. At the same time, we're working with Mitsubishi Electric, a second-source manufacturer of Alpha chips, to develop a low-cost, high-performance Alpha microprocessor focused on the Windows NT desktop market. Called the 21164 PC, this chip will bring the power of Alpha to systems in the $2,500 price range. Together with Digital's new FX32 software translation technology, which is scheduled for release later this year, this is going to give customers access to both Alpha 64-bit applications and all of those 32-bit Windows applications on Windows NT. We also plan a number of joint market development activities with Samsung, our newest Alpha semiconductor partner, to create worldwide demand for Alpha products. Samsung is one of the world's leading semiconductor manufacturers, and this strategic alliance represents a significant endorsement of Alpha. We expect Samsung to produce its first Alpha chips in 1997. Now, although Digital has been intimately involved with the Internet for two decades, we established our credentials as an Internet leader last year with the introduction of our AltaVista search and index service. AltaVista has become one of the most popular sites on the World Wide Web, with an average of more than 16 million hits per day. To build on this success, we're providing a growing portfolio of Alta Vista software products for the emerging internet intranet market. We're also building strategic alliances with other internet leaders like Microsoft and MCI to develop comprehensive solutions for corporate intranets, including hardware, software, and services. Achievements like these are driving our strategic turnaround, and I expect more progress in the year ahead. That's why I'm confident that digital will overcome today's challenge and achieve a level of profitability and growth that is competitive with the industry's leaders. One sign of our confidence is our decision to use part of our growing cash balance to repurchase, as conditions warrant, up to 10 million shares of Digital's common stock, a step that was authorized by our board of directors. This will enable us to curtail dilution impact of the employee stock purchase plan. The stock repurchase program that we announced today not only demonstrates the underlying strength of our company, but it's a good opportunity to enhance shareholder value. Now I'd like to turn it over to Vin Mullarkey, the Chief Financial Officer of Digital Equipment. Vin?
Thank you, Bob. Our overall business and financial performance was largely in line with the expectations that we set back on July 2nd. Let me begin with product revenues. Total product revenues were essentially unchanged when compared to the same period last year, while growing 2% when adjusted for divestiture activity and 6% when adjusted for both divestitures as well as currency. We performed well in most of our key product areas. Our Alpha business grew 34% compared to last quarter four. Growth was driven by continued solid demand for our Alpha service. Our enterprise-class systems, primarily the Alpha 8000 product family, grew 68% in the fourth quarter. The rest of the Alpha server product line grew over 50%, with the recently announced Alpha 4100 contributing to this strong growth. Revenues for our Alpha workstations were essentially flat when compared with the same quarter of last year. We continue to see exceptional demand for Windows NT, growing over 100% in the quarter, and Unix systems continue to grow at upwards of 33%. The personal computer business declined 3% from quarter four a year ago. Within the PC business, revenue from servers and mobile products remained very strong. That growth, however, was offset by the expected decline in our desktop business. As Bob mentioned, our management team is making considerable progress in executing our corrective action plan in the PC unit. Our storage and network product businesses grew a combined 15% over last quarter four. Other product businesses declined 23% compared to the same period last year. This includes some businesses that are non-strategic, such as printers and supplies, which declined some 35%, as well as the memory business, which we exited last quarter. Service revenues declined some 2%, as reported. Adjusted for divestments of the learning services business, revenues were flat compared to last quarter four. When also adjusted for both divestments and currency, service revenues grew by some 3% year over year. Our integration and outsourcing services showed continued growth in the quarter, as did our multi-services revenues. As planned, Digital's maintenance revenues declined in the fourth quarter, primarily as a result of improved product reliability and lower revenue per serviceable unit. Digital ended the quarter with 59,100 employees, a year-over-year population decrease of some 2,600 people. Our balance sheet continued to strengthen this past quarter. The asset management programs that we've been focusing on over the last year have begun to show some very positive results. Our day sales outstanding for quarter four showed a seven-day improvement. The quarter four inventory levels are at their lowest levels in some 3 years. We ended the quarter with over $2 billion in cash and generated positive cash flow from operations of $336 million. As indicated in early July, we took a restructuring charge of $492 million in the fourth quarter to enable us to move to the next level of operating efficiency. To further profile the elements of this charge, we will remove 7,000 positions over the next 12 months, with approximately 75% of these positions coming from overhead areas in the company. We will close an additional 3.5 million square feet of space. We will consolidate our sales function across the business units, substantially increasing productivity in this area. We will continue with additional consolidations in our manufacturing plants and distribution sites. And we will improve our service delivery model in profit margin performance in the service sector. The population reduction is distributed largely in line with company revenues distribution by geography. Approximately 75% of the restructuring charge will be to support employee separations. Fiscal year 96 was a successful year for Digital on many fronts. Although our quarter four performance was off plan, we made progress in our financial turnaround and successfully executed many very important components of our strategy. The financial highlights of this past year include: we achieved the highest level of revenue in the company's history. We achieved this despite having divested of businesses during the past 2 years that generated over $1 billion in revenues. As reported, total operating revenues grew 5%, and when adjusted for divestitures, grew some 9% this past year. We're beginning to see the benefits of a number of margin improvement programs that were implemented over the last few years. First, we ended the year with a product gross margin of 33.7%. Not only was 96 improvement in product gross margin significant at 4.6 points, this is also the first time in 8 years that we showed an improvement. Our continued emphasis on asset management enabled us to improve our cash position to a fiscal year-end balance of $2 billion, a $437 million increase. This represents our strongest cash position in nearly 5 years. We generated cash flow from operations of $600 million for the year, our strongest in 5 years. Fiscal 96 represents the second consecutive year of significant profit improvement. Excluding restructuring provisions, net profit margins improved from a loss of 5% in fiscal 94 to a profit of 3% in fiscal 96. We remain confident that we will achieve levels of net profit competitive with industry leaders within the next 2 years. So in closing, we remain confident in Digital's future. Our strategy is working and is focused on markets that are experiencing significant growth. We continue to strengthen our product and services offering. We are taking the necessary actions to address those areas of the company that are underperforming. And our balance sheet is strong and getting stronger. With that, we will be happy to take your questions.
Merlin, we're now ready to take questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, you will need to press the 1, followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt acknowledging your request. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your polling request, you may do so by pressing the 1, followed by the 3 on your push-button phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers. One moment, please, for the first question. Barry Shannon, please state your company name and location, followed by your question.
Good morning. This is Terry Shannon from Shannon Knows Deck in Ashland, Massachusetts, and I have a question for Bob Palmer. Bob, 2 years ago, you set an indirect revenue goal of 63% for Digital Equipment Corporation. What percentage of your revenue came from indirect channels in fiscal 96? And a quick follow-up, how close are you to signing on a major vendor as an adopter of the Alpha architecture?
Well, in the case of your first question, we, if I remember correctly, achieved about 58% of product revenue through indirect channels in the quarter just ended. So we're running on a roughly 40-60% split, which we thought was about right, although, frankly, we just want our products to reach our customers through the most efficient channel, whatever that might be. Relative to the Alpha adoption question, of course, most recently, as I mentioned in my remarks, we have the endorsement of Samsung, which they could have chosen virtually any RISC architecture to endorse and take into their market for microprocessors. As they enter that marketplace, they chose Alpha after an exhaustive study of the available architectures out there. And I was very pleased that, once again, we introduced not only the fact that we were operating at 500 megahertz, but we're sampling parts. And as you know, very often our competition announces what they're going to have, and you wait some time before there's parts available. So we're feeling pretty good about Alpha. And with the Mitsubishi Electric discussion that I had, they had Well, I believe it was about 12 to 15 engineers here at Digital for several weeks working with us, actually a few months, and designing this 21164 PC that will bring Alpha to the low-cost systems on the desktop as well. So we've got about 40 or 50 design-ins. None of them are really major, large companies at this point. But I think as Windows NT 4.0 gets out there, as FX32 gets out there, we'll begin to see the adoption of Alpha by other systems companies.
Okay, thank you very much.
Molly Williams, please state your company name, your location, followed by your question.
Hi, Bob. Molly Williams from Bloomberg. I had a question about Enrico Pescatore's replacement. Right now, you're still overseeing the computer business. Can you talk a little bit about where that stands?
Yes. At the present time, I am acting as the vice president, I suppose, of the computer systems division. And I found that my boss is fairly easy to get along with. But in any event, the way the thing is going is that I'm getting a lot more familiar with the details of the businesses and PCs, which is appropriate given the problems that we had, and also with our systems business, which I'm not spending too much time on because it's running well, and Harry Copperman is integrating the enterprise sales force worldwide now that previously was the ABU-SBU structure. So basically just making sure that these executives have sufficient management resources and support to improve their businesses as they've committed to do. And I would say that at this point, I'm pretty optimistic about the work I've seen so far. Bruce Claflin's doing an excellent job in executing the strategy that he laid out to focus our Intel architecture on the servers primarily, continuing to provide leadership mobile products and desktops. But really, our value added is primarily around server technology, and that's where his focus is, in addition to getting the channel inventories down. So it's going pretty well. I'm not looking for an active. I'm not actively looking for a replacement for Enrico at this point. I'd like to take an extended period of time here and manage this directly myself.
So you're not looking for a replacement right away?
No, I'm not at all. I think that we have, with the business unit structure and the leaders that we have in place there, we have an opportunity that perhaps we won't need to refill that position.
Okay, thanks.
Jay Ertzman, please state your company name, followed by your question.
International Data Corporation, Framingham, Mass. Just wondered if you could provide some additional information on or acceptance of the 4100 server?
Boy, it really has done well. The 4100 was an exceptionally excellent product in terms of its engineering, as you know. With it, we were able to introduce our two cluster Unix capability, and this provides very high availability and very large memory databases at a very low cost. We actually ordered, let me talk about orders first. We shipped on the order of 1,000 units were ordered and shipped very rapidly after the introduction, and that's a very strong endorsement of that product. I don't have the exact number sitting here, but I think Caffrey can get it for you if that's of interest. But revenues were strong for that product. It's a lot of capability at a very attractive price point, and we expect that growth to continue. The ability to use the true cluster solution so that you can mix 8,000 series and 4,100 series products in the same cluster seems to have been well received also.
Thank you.
Bob Jurjevic, please state your company name, location, followed by your question.
Alex Research in Phoenix, Arizona. I wonder, gentlemen, if you could give us more granularity in terms of the international markets and how they performed both in the latest period and for the year.
Well, as we mentioned, in the case of our European business, Digital does more business in Europe as a percent of our total than most of our systems competitors. And so the economic slowdowns that we've been witnessing in the major industrialized countries of Europe have impacted Digital more than others. And we said that about 4 weeks ago, and certainly that was the case. It's a slow right now. At the same time, I think about half of our slowdown is related to the industry in general, and about half of it is related to internal affairs at Digital that we can improve upon. So we're making some changes there to try and do a better job covering the customers in Europe and bringing on some additional talent and channels, and I'm optimistic we'll get that turned around. Relative to Asia Pacific, we continue to do well, and it's different by each geography. In some cases, it's mostly the PCs that are doing really well. Other cases, it's the servers. And so, since we do business in over 100 countries, it's a little hard to be specific in this kind of a conference. But overall, I think that the most important thing is one that Vin mentioned, and that's that the core products of the company, our strategic products, are doing very well, particularly our alpha products, which now represent about one-third of the product revenues of the company.
Can you, a follow-up to this, can you be more specific, as I said, in terms of the geographic regions? I'm not asking you to give us revenue changes for 100 countries, but can you do it to the extent that you have to do it in the annual report?
Well, I think that the best plan for that would be to contact Dan Cafferly after this meeting, and we'll try to get you some information from Investor Relations or something that'd be more specific. But we'd be happy to get to answer your question offline. May I have the next question, please?
Brandon Musler, please state your company name, followed by your location, followed by your question.
Hi, this is Brandon Musler, Illuminata, calling from New York. You've indicated that there's going to be a reduction in headcount of about 7,000 employees over the next year, and you indicated that 75% of those would be from overhead positions. I was just wondering if you could get a definition of what the overhead positions are. And I'm aware that digital is also seems to be undergoing a transition from geographic to vertical or industry-oriented sales. I'm wondering what impact that's going to have on the company over the next couple of quarters.
Well, in terms of the restrictions, what we've said is that as we have streamlined our operations and got more focused on the customer coverage model, that there'll be some support functions that really will bear the brunt of that reduction. About half of it should happen in the first two quarters and about half the last couple of quarters. It's distributed geographically pretty much like our revenues are, although in the greater New England area, on a percentage basis, there'll be fewer reductions because we've previously addressed that issue more aggressively. So fundamentally, the reductions are by business unit in those areas where we feel like we have more skills on board at this time than we require. Incidentally, the last time the company got down to, right now we're at around 59,000 employees. The last time we were at about 59,000 employees was 15 years ago, and our revenues were about $3 billion.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Lori Valigra, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hello. This is Lori Valigra. I have a question about the NT, and I'm hoping I'm not repeating anything because the conference call cut out for quite an extended period. But I wondered if you could split what the sales are, you know, give an overall figure, split PCs versus servers, and then talk a bit about future growth. I know it was 100%, but do you expect that to continue even with IBM, HP, Apple, and others entering the market? Can you give a little projection of what you see going forward?
Well, with respect to the NT market, you're quite right that our growth year over year was more than 100%. We don't see any signs of a slowdown at this point. Of course, as the number gets larger and larger, and so that is the base that you're comparing to gets larger, it's unlikely you'll continue doubling, since that's impossible for any particular length of time. But tremendous acceptance of Windows NT, and with the announcement and the release of Windows NT 4.0, we're certainly anticipating increased vigor in that space. Digital, because of our Alliance for Enterprise Computing, is better aligned with Microsoft and better able to support the Windows NT phenomenon than any other systems company, in our opinion, and we should do very well with that. I don't know if that adequately answers your question, but we're quite excited about it. And we feel like we're in an excellent position because of our two-platform strategy of having both Intel architecture and Alpha architecture, which can run the and will run and does run the Intel, Windows NT operating system and runs all these applications. So very good opportunity for digital to be where the market is going.
Bob, could you just try to elaborate a little bit numbers or any kind of percentage you might give in terms of PCs versus alpha server sales of Windows NT.
I'm not sure the kind of split that you're looking for, but I think we could probably do that in a follow-up call. I think that roughly the alpha versus PCs is about 50-50 in the company, as I recall, but don't hold me to precision there, but it's about half and half. Alpha products overall today make up about a third of the total product revenue of the company, as I remember, and we're seeing good growth, as I said earlier. In Unix, it's growing at more than 50% year over year, despite the fact that the base is getting pretty large now. And the Windows is up by over 100% year over year, as I mentioned. Oh, and by the way, VMS, OpenVMS on Alpha was up 23% year over year. So I hope that will help you with what you were looking for.
Thank you.
Next question, please. Next question, please. Hello.
Aaliyah Fairchild, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Yes, hello, it's Aaliyah Fairchild with the European Consultancy Network in Brussels, Belgium. Regarding your European management structure, I know you've made a lot of changes and restructuring in the last month. When will you be ready to announce what you're going to be doing with the channel partners and the direct sales coverage at more length?
Well, I think that we'll cover that at our September 3rd analyst meeting, which we're holding a worldwide analyst meeting that some people have been invited to, and there'll be some external messages as well. We'll have more to say about it, but fundamentally, we're strengthening the management team in Europe. We're increasing our direct coverage by a factor of three. That is, from when we're finished with the plan that we've laid out, about three times as many accounts in Europe will be covered direct as are covered in the quarter just ended direct. In addition to that, we're getting more focused on our indirect channels partners in Europe, and we're being more selective about who we align ourselves with in the various geographies. That being said, I should mention that we've had good success in a couple of geographies in Europe recently, notably the United Kingdom and Italy have done a good job. We've had a little more struggle in some of the other countries. Also in the emerging countries, we've done pretty well. So it's very much a mixed picture, as it is throughout the world, and it reflects both the economies in those countries and the strength of the management teams within the countries.
Okay, thank you.
Next question, please.
Greg Gatlin, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, Greg Gatlin, Middlesex News in Framingham, Mass. Vin, I think you mentioned the company plans to close 3.5 million square feet of space, and I didn't get the time span in which that will happen. You say you'll continue with additional consolidations in manufacturing plants and distribution sites, and I'm wondering where, if you can give us some specifics on where the closed space will be.
The planning for that is well underway at this point in time in terms of the both the regions of the world where the contraction will take place, as well as the specific sites from a manufacturing point of view. This will occur approximately over the next 2 years. We will disclose the specifics on that to the appropriate external constituencies after we inform our employees. And again, that will roll out over the course of the next year.
Then I think it's worth noting that these additional closings, that 3.5 million comes on top of many times that. We're looking at,
25.
You know, 25 million or so have been closed today. So we're looking at about 10% additional restructuring in this company. In many respects, our turnaround suffered a slight setback in the quarter, and we've recovered from that. We've taken some management actions to correct things. The problems that we have are quite containable, and we've got some actions to turn it around. And that's why we took that additional restructuring to get completely finished and competitive with the leaders. Very much like the in the case of the Olympics, you know, you've seen this last couple of weeks any number of teams and athletes have a slip, stumble on the beam maybe, get up and finish for an excellent performance. That's our situation today. We've stumbled a little, we've gotten up, and we're still on the track, and we're doing very well.
Thank you.
Next question.
Next question, please.
Mike Willman, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Hi, I'm Mike Willman from DataQuest in London. I was just wanted to pick up a little bit on the comment that was made about you wanted to grow the European business better, and I wondered were there areas of your business in Europe that you've been disappointed in, and which were they?
Well, if you mean areas in the sense of geographic areas, we've had disappointments in France and Germany that we've discussed in the past, and we're working to address those. These are, of course, two huge economies and very important to digital. We've been in France, for example, more than 30 years, and it's an area where we have an excellent reputation with our customers. We've done a good job. On the other hand, our costs are not in line in that country for the current open systems realities, and we've got some more work to do there. In the German economy, it's been slower than was anticipated during the start of the last fiscal year, and we've been impacted by that. We hope that in both cases, these economies will recover and our business will do better in those economies. But as I say, our cost structures are still not quite competitive with the open system realities. We built infrastructures there in a time when the computer industry was characterized by proprietary operating systems and platforms, and margins were substantially different than they are today. Now, those competitors that didn't exist so long in those countries don't have those infrastructures, and as you know, it's very difficult to make changes in your headcount and your structures within those countries. Anyway, we're working on it. We've got excellent leaders in the countries, and we're optimistic that we'll make some progress during the next fiscal year.
Thank you very much.
Other questions?
Lawrence Zuckerman, please state your question, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Yeah, I'm with the New York Times in New York. Bob, I had a question for you just about what you said earlier, that you expected other systems vendors to begin adopting Alpha in the years ahead. Just wondering if you could elaborate, what does that mean for digital, and how do you perceive the Alpha platform going forward, especially vis-a-vis Intel?
Well, I think that one of the more interesting things is that, as we had predicted some couple years ago, Alpha is the only architecture out there that has a sustainable performance advantage in both integer and floating point over the Intel architecture. And what's happened is Intel has done an outstanding job of introducing their Pentium Pro series, which has made that prophecy come true. They've outperformed the other RISC architectures and basically caused the industry to rethink the architecture choices that are out there for platforms. It's very clear that Intel will remain the leader in terms of volumes and revenues as a platform, and as you know, Digital has a significant commitment to the Intel architecture, and we're very satisfied with our position there. We're making some changes and some improvements, particularly around the Intel-based servers, where we've come on and gained some serious market share, and we continue to do well. But in the case of the other RISC architectures, Alpha has had a lead in performance for 4 years, and you're seeing more and more recognition by that of that fact in the analysts that write about the industry. People are pointing out that Digital, when we announce a product, is actually sampling, whereas most of our competitors announce what they're going to have. We just announced in July the 500 megahertz Alpha 21164. It's available for sampling today. It'll be in volume production in September. This is a product that delivers at peak performance 2 billion instructions per second. Alpha was the first chip to get to 1 billion instructions per second and the first to get to 2 billion instructions. With the advent of the FX32 translator technology that enables you to run applications written for Windows on the Alpha platform seamlessly, no recompiling, no problems, we expect that when we introduce that in September, that will drive more market demand for the Alpha performance, because you can use Alpha to give greater performance on applications written for Windows NT or the Win32 interface. And Digital will offer both platforms, and we'll just have the broadest performance spectrum thereby of any of the competitors.
Well, excuse me, when you have a $2,500 Alpha desktop system, though, I mean, what impact will that have on Digital? Are you talking about just really ramping up the volumes of Alpha in the marketplace?
We surely expect that to be the case, because at that kind of a price point, there'll be a lot of applications that, of course, ported native will run very, very rapidly on the Alpha platform, and they'll run the other applications through the translator at Pentium class speeds at least. And so we expect that that'll drive a lot of demand for both Digital and Mitsubishi Electric, which is our partner. I personally think many of the other RISC architectures have a declining outlook in terms of their prospects because of Intel's great success in continuing to engineer their Pentium architecture and now the Pentium Pro.
So if you're going to be running Intel, if you're going to be running Windows apps at Intel Pentium speeds, aren't you then really going to go into competition against Intel?
I would see it more as a complementary with Intel. The situation is that by using both Intel and Alpha platforms, we can give a very wide spectrum of performance. Now, there's certainly an element of competition, that is, a systems company that's looking at making a choice of one or the other might sometimes choose, we hope they certainly will, sometimes choose to differentiate their product by performance, in which case they'll choose Alpha. So there is a competitive element, but it's a very competitive industry. I'm sure Andy Grove is not losing a whole lot of sleep over this topic. He's got a very enviable position in the industry, and Intel is both a good supplier and a good customer of digital, so we would emphasize the complementarity of the two architectures.
Great. Thank you very much.
We have time for two more questions, Merlin.
Don Logan, please state your company name, followed by your question.
John Logan, Aberdeen Group. We're in Boston. The question's more for Vin. Vin, we noticed that SG&A went up $90 million approximately in the last quarter. Can you tell us if that's a trend, what it consisted of, why such a large increase in that area that you've been working so hard to keep down?
Well, I certainly noticed it as well. And let me say it's one of the major disappointments for the quarter. The level of spending in SG&A in the June quarter relative to revenues is up over 23% and 2.5 to 3 points higher than we would have liked. The issue, however, is more that revenues are at a level much lower than we had planned. And so our fixed cost structure here caught us a bit, if you will. Had we met our revenue plan, the SG&A level would be in line with our expectations in a competitive position. It's going to take us a couple of quarters to get it back in line. That will come from a combination of additional cuts and cost containment, as well as revenue growth.
Next question, please.
Jim Garden, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Yes, we're based in Hampton, New Hampshire, and my question is regarding the PC business unit. We see that overall the revenue was off 3% for the year, and yet the server business was up 25%. This would lead us to the conclusion that the desktop side is not doing well at all. And also Bob has been quoted as changing the focus in the PC business unit to reducing the focus at the desktop. Should this lead us to believe that digital is going to jump out of the PC desktop business?
Well, we continue to have a strategy that depends on delivering leadership products on the desktop based on the Intel architecture for our customers, and we'll continue with that strategy. So the real issue is what's the most efficient way to deliver desktops, mobile products, and servers to our customers? And Bruce Claflin is certainly examining all of the elements of that question to make sure that we can do a more competitive job in terms of that execution. That being said, I should point out that one of the reasons that you've seen that that revenue is that in the States, we very much stopped putting product into the channel, or at least reduced the rate at which we were putting product into the channel, and we focused on selling product out of the channels, and quite successfully, about 20% growth in the revenues out of the channel. And so it was primarily a U.S. issue. We had growth in Europe and Asia in the PC business. And so the issue for digital is we've got to get back in control of the inventories in the channel. Bruce made a lot of progress on that during the quarter just ended. He'll make some more progress in Q1, and by the end of Q2, which is the December quarter, I expect that the PC business will be on the break-even or profitable. And that's his objective and my objective, and he certainly focused on it. I believe that we've got time for one more question or two. What do we have?
One more question.
One more. Okay.
David Browsel, please state your question, or your company name, followed by your question. David Browsel. Terry Shannon, please state your follow-up question.
I'm sorry, I can't hear the question.
There was no question. Molly Williams, please state your follow-up question.
Hi. Bob, I had another question for you on the PC company. As you're going to be running it, can you talk a little bit more specifically about what changes you're going to be making in order to get to the break-even level? And could you just repeat which quarter you expect to be at the break-even or profitable level?
Actually, I'm not running it, Molly. Bruce Claflin is running it, but Bruce is reporting directly to me.
Right.
And I'm very pleased with Bruce. He's an impressive executive. He's jumped in at a tough time when he came to digital. Things deteriorated rapidly, not his making, but he's jumped in there to start getting a handle on it and fixing it. We've begun to reduce our expenses significantly in the PCBU. We've begun to manage our channels much more aggressively to get those inventories down to competitive levels. And we've set an aggressive improvement plan. We should see improvement in Q1 versus Q4, and we should see break even by the end of the calendar year, which is for us the fiscal second quarter. So I think Bruce has got a clear strategy. He knows what he wants to do. We're continuing to invest. We want to focus on those areas where we can really differentiate ourselves, which, as you know, is in the server and balanced systems area. And we'll continue to deliver competitive desktops and mobile products. And we've done a good job, frankly, in the design and manufacturing of our products. I'm not at all disappointed in the quality of the products, the design features, nor is the market. They've been very well received, mobile, desktop, and server. But in managing our sales channels, we did a very poor job, and we got caught with so much inventory when prices declined more aggressively than anybody had forecasted. Digital was more adversely impacted because of that excess inventory out there in the channels and the need to price protect our partners. So we know what we need to do. It's not a fatal kind of issue. This is something you can understand. It's fixable. It's containable. And we've got good management leading the fixes. And so I'm optimistic that Bruce will achieve his objective end of the calendar year. But with that, I need to wrap up here. I hope that you've heard we're very confident about our future. We've made a lot of progress since 94 in particular. We had a $258 million profit improvement over 95 before restructuring. We had the first gross margin improvements in 5 years and product gross margin first improvements in 8 years. So clearly a lot of our re-engineering is working.